Hello and welcome to Research Roundup, brought to you by the Primary Care Collaborative Cancer Clinical Trials Group, PC4. I'm Christy Milley, and each month we'll be looking at what's new in cancer in primary care research, and I'll be talking to authors of recent publications and presentations. Today we're speaking with researchers Nicola Cray and Ebony Verbunt from the University of Melbourne School of Population and Global Health Centre for Health Policy. Their team has published a systematic narrative review on primary care practice-based interventions and their effect on participation in population-based cancer screening programs. They've just published in the Primary Healthcare Research and Development Journal. I'm also an author on this paper, so full disclosure, because early detection and cancer screening is an important area for PC4. And we're really interested in making sure that we can improve the impact of our cancer screening programs by ensuring that the role of GPs, their practice teams, and primary care is maximised. So welcome, Ebony and Nicola.
Hi, Christy. Thank you so much for having Nicola and I here today. We're really excited to be here and to be talking with you about our work.
So maybe I'll start with you, Ebony. Could you tell us a little bit about why this area is an interest for your research team?
Yeah, sure. So back in 2020, Nicola and I were working on a number of projects for the Commonwealth Department of Health. And one particular project aimed to gather and synthesise the evidence that supports interventions that increase screening participation rates in Australia's national cancer screening programs. So for context, participation rates in screening programs in Australia and globally are often suboptimal, and this limits the impact they can have in reducing cancer mortality. So through this project, we learned that the endorsement of screening by a primary healthcare worker is a very important facilitator in a patient's decision to screen. We were then funded subsequently by the Commonwealth Department of Health to undertake another project evaluating ways to engage with primary healthcare workers about the national cancer screening programs and to develop materials and initiatives to assist in boosting participation, education, and engagement.
So following on from that then, Nicola, what do primary healthcare workers, what role do they have currently in cancer screening programs here compared to other countries like the US, UK and Canada maybe?
Yeah, really good question. So the role of primary healthcare workers do vary according to the programs. In Australia, for cervical screening, providers, typically a GP or an accredited nurse screening provider, is really responsible for facilitating screening within the program. This could mean either conducting a clinician-collected test or facilitating the person to undertake a self-collected test, which is now available as a choice for all people undergoing cervical screening. In the UK, Canada, and the US as well, primary healthcare workers do play a really critical role in actually facilitating screening. In the US, obstetricians and gynecologists also play a key role too. These countries are yet to make self-collection for cervical screening available. In terms of breast screening, most countries offer mammography screening outside of primary care, with primary healthcare workers playing a less direct role in the screening itself, but very important in facilitating participation and follow-up. And for bowel screening, the role of primary care workers differ according to the program structure. In the US and Canada, family physicians are responsible for recommending, performing, and referring patients to different screening modalities. In Australia and countries like the UK and Canada, eligible participants receive an FOBT test in the mail and have the option to nominate their GP. So what might be of interest to listeners about bowel screening in Australia is that towards the end of last year, an alternative access pathway became available where healthcare providers can bulk order FOBT kits and provide them to their patients within consultations. This became available because of the Indigenous bowel screening pilot that trialled this model and showed that screening participation nearly doubled. This really speaks to the impact that primary healthcare workers can have in facilitating screening.
Thanks very much, Nicola. And back over to you, Ebony. This is quite a substantial review with almost 50 studies that have been included. Could you just outline for us a little bit more details about the studies? You know, where were they from? What type of, you know, interventions are being tested? That kind of thing?
Yeah, so we included both randomized and non-randomized trials that were conducted in high-income countries and focused on the effect of a primary care practice-based intervention to optimize the role of primary healthcare workers in cancer screening programs. So it was quite a broad inclusion criteria, and that was likely why we had such a high number of included studies. We did find that, however, out of the 47 included studies, 34 of them originated from the United States, with the remaining from Canada, Australia, France, Norway, Netherlands, and Spain. And in terms of the study design, we found that 19 studies were randomized controlled trials and 28 were non-randomized trials. So 25 of those studies were looking at interventions focused on increasing participation in bowel screening. So the majority were focused on bowel screening. And 6 targeted cervical screening, 2 breast screening, and 14 studies were a combination of all 3 screening programs. In terms of what the studies were looking at, we found that 15 were focused on single component interventions. So, for example, only looking at practice-focused reminders, whilst 32 included multi-component interventions. So looking at, for example, practice-focused reminders and patient-focused education. So yeah, we did find that there was an overrepresentation of studies from the United States and studies focused on bowel screening.
And were you expecting that, do you think, or was that a surprise when you started to look at the results?
I'm not too surprised. I think there has been a lot of focus on bowel screening in the United States. That would make sense because of the program structure in which primary care facilitates them.
And so were many of these studies recent, and do you think it shows an increasing awareness of the importance of GPs, practice nurses, that whole primary care team in screening participation?
Yeah, so just for a bit of context, we did limit the date of our search strategy to studies published between 2010 to 2022, and that was in anticipation of the large number of included studies. However, we did find that of the 47 included studies, 37 were published in 2015 or later, of which 10 of those were published in 2020 or later. And I agree, I do think that the large number of studies in the recent years is reflective of the increased understanding of the important role of primary healthcare workers and their role that they play in the cancer screening programs. And yeah, I think that people, you know, they trust their GP and nurses, and therefore they hold great power in engaging people in cancer screening.
And also, Ebony, earlier when you were talking before about the studies that you included and that idea of a single component or a multi-component intervention, this review has highlighted that the multi-component interventions showed the most success. So would you be able to maybe share with us any that were particularly effective in increasing screening participation? And was there any difference in the quality of these studies?
Yeah, so we found that interventions with a positive effect on screening participation were predominantly multi-component, and most included combinations of audit and feedback, provider reminders, practice-facilitated assessment and improvement, and patient education, and that was across the screening programs. Regarding bowel screening specifically, we found the provision of screening kits at point of care to be an effective strategy to increase participation. So, for example, an Australian randomized control trial, which assessed the effect of providing GPs with a script to assist them in endorsing screening and providing patients with a screening kit and education, found that those receiving the intervention had 10 times greater odds of completing screening compared to those in the trial receiving usual care. And in terms of contextual factors of effective interventions, we found that taking a whole of practice approach and identifying a practice champion were important. So based off the included studies, we defined a whole of practice approach as empowering an array of practice staff. So administrative staff, nurses, practice managers, general practitioners, to be involved in cancer screening interventions, and a practice champion as a primary healthcare worker who drives activities within screening programs. So, for example, a multi-site non-randomized trial in the United States discussed how practices with the greatest change in cancer screening rates had fully engaged staff at several levels within the practice. And another non-randomized trial in the United States reported nearly doubling cervical screening participation rates, so from 38% to 70%. Following the selection of a practice nurse to facilitate and provide clear direction for a quality improvement project. And now regarding the quality of the studies, so we use the Downs and Black checklist, and we found that randomized control trials had a mean score of 22, which is categorized as good, and non-randomized trials had a mean score of 17, which is categorized as fair. So randomized control trials had a higher mean score than non-randomized trials in internal validity and confounding. So they scored 4 versus 2.
And could I just ask, when you were describing just before, you said, was it whole of practice approach? Could you just tease that out a little bit again? That's a really interesting concept. So that's what you pulled out from all of these interventions in summary, was this whole of practice approach.
Yeah, so that really talks to involving all levels of practice staff in the cancer screening intervention. So involving administrative staff, involving practice managers, involving nurses, involving GPs. And so they feel empowered to be involved in the intervention, and that really drives the intervention and leads to higher engagement and subsequently higher increase in cancer screening participation rates.
And so can I also ask you then, Ebony, because this review really is about creating evidence to guide the development of new interventions. So if you were Frankenstein and you could put together the best parts of all of the different trials that you reviewed, what would you put together for that perfect intervention?
Yeah, so I believe that this review provides novel understanding as to what components and contextual factors should be included in interventions using primary healthcare workers to facilitate greater participation in screening programs. Unfortunately, there is no silver bullet, with our findings showing that complex interventions comprised of practitioner-focused and patient-focused components are required to increase cancer screening participation in primary care settings. But in terms of the multi-component interventions, they may involve strategies such as audit and feedback, which is defined as a systematic collection of data on cancer screening professional performance based on criteria or standards subsequently fed back to practitioners in a structured manner, provide reminders, and more broadly, practice-facilitated assessment and improvement, which we define as multiple practice activities being undertaken to facilitate the delivery of cancer screening based on a review of current practice activities. We also found that including patient education is important. And for bowel cancer screening, the provision of screening kits at point of care. Also, based on our findings, identifying a practice champion to drive those interventions is an important contextual factor, as is involving all levels of practice staff. So from administrative staff to general practitioners.
I think that's nice just in general to feel included in everything, isn't it, that your whole team is part of it and having your whole team leads to success. So, Nicola, how can we work to implement the findings of this and think about what we can actually do in general practice and to change policy to help us increase screening participation rates? And what support is important to enable practices to feel empowered to actively support increasing participation in these screening programs?
I think that's a really good question, and I think the work that Ebony has really highlighted today has really important learnings. To use Australia as the example, there have been several recent policy initiatives implemented with the broad aim to increase screening participation. The first is, of course, the move to self-collection being a universal choice for all people, and the second is the provision of FOBT tests within consultations within general practice. The evidence is clear, self-collection for cervical screening is just as accurate, and the provision of self-collection kits and bowel screening kits through general practice can increase screening participation. I think in considering these policy level changes, your question about how general practice can be empowered is really key, because the extent to which self-collection and the provision of FOBT tests for bowel screening can improve participation depends almost entirely on the extent to which general practice is supported to implement these changes within their clinical practice. So, okay, there might not be a silver bullet, but I think with that comes opportunity. Many of the components of the interventions that Ebony spoke about, so audit and feedback, quality improvement and reminders, are strategies that are well known to general practice. Where policy, I think, can support their use is by providing an enabling environment where these strategies can be performed and be supported to do so. So I think an understated way to do that is to support practices to identify practice champions and to have support available for practice champions to be able to carry on their exercises to achieve the practice goals. I think another way to empower general practice is to maximize practice medical software so that bowel, breast, and cervical can be front of mind within consultations so the individual practitioner can hold opportunistic conversations with their patients. So things like cancer screening fields or flags are really important. I think the availability of the National Cancer Screening Register healthcare provider portal and its integration into medical software is a great example of exactly that, empowering general practice to carry on their own initiatives within consultations. For breast screening, I think it's a little bit different because the program operates basically outside of general practice. GPs and other primary healthcare workers are not as actively involved. We have definitely learned through the cervical and bowel screening programs and other particular projects within those programs that primary healthcare workers can really support people to engage with screening. And this also might be beneficial for the breast screening program. Being in a place where primary care can at least have access to patients' breast screening histories is one type of policy initiative that I think really should be considered. And lastly, empowering screen-eligible people with the information about screening and the alternative ways to perform screening, I think will also be critical.
I think the theme word that's come through all of that just then is, you know, empowering people and implementation. So I'm just interested for both of you with your research team as a whole, where you're going next, especially given your expertise in that space. What are you doing to take the learnings from this and look at implementation and rollout and that kind of thing?
So our team, which is really led by Dr. Claire Nightingale, has and is very busy working on really interesting and valuable research to support both an increased participation and equity within Australia's cancer screening programs. We do have, at the moment, quite a focus on the National Cervical Screening Program. We've got a number of big projects that are really aiming to optimise the integration of self-collection so that we can work towards equity within the program. We have a lot of work with providers trying to identify the challenges and enablers of implementation of self-collection and are just starting a large body of work engaging with underscreen communities and investigating some new promotional tools. This work is really supported by a range of funders, which includes the Victorian Cancer Agency and the NHMRC. We also have a big project with the Victorian Department of Health, who are funding a large statewide quality improvement project aiming to increase the engagement of primary healthcare services in all cancer screening programs. Our team is involved in evaluating this, and this gives us a lot of opportunities to work with PHNs across the state and to further understand some of the challenges and the amazing work that GPs are doing to promote breast, cervical, bowel, and liver screening. This project has also given us the opportunity to do an initial evaluation of the new alternative access model for bowel screening. We are really lucky to be involved in the NHMRC Centre for Research Excellence to eliminate cervical cancer. This has given us opportunities to synthesise consultation data for the development of the Australian cervical cancer elimination strategy and to provide expertise to other countries looking to eliminate cervical cancer. We have also recently worked with Cancer Australia to do some scoping work that may be used to inform the implementation of a potential lung cancer screening program. Our team here is particularly keen to do more in this context, particularly given the Medical Services Advisory Committee announcement last year. And we're also establishing a cancer screening think tank at the University of Melbourne as a way to bring together the substantial expertise from many talented and passionate researchers and build multidisciplinary collaborations so we can learn with each other and from each other to ensure existing and emerging cancer screening programs in Australia are delivered equitably and really maximise their ability to prevent cancer in our population. Of course, and before I finish, I would like to recognise that our work is strengthened because of the connection and collaboration with our valuable partners. These include many people that span across primary healthcare workers, of course, at PC4, the Australian Centre for the Prevention of Cervical Cancer, Cancer Council Victoria, the Australian National University, Cancer Australia, Victorian Department of Health, and the Daffodil Centre. I would really like to acknowledge them and the work that they do in promoting equity and increasing participation in Australia's cancer screening programs.
I think that list just highlights who you really need to partner with to make change happen. And when you say, you know, multidisciplinary, multi-institutional, that's what you've got to do to really make change and impact policy and impact practice. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks, Christy. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for downloading Research Roundup produced by PC4. You can access the articles and other information in our show notes. Please let us know what you think about this episode by emailing us at info@pc4tg.com.au or keep in touch via Twitter, where you'll find us at PC4TG. And there's also our website, which is pc4tg.com.au.